Underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter, thank you for checking out the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Enjoy this mini episode called Niger, Trump, and Perspective, which, by the way, is part of the full episode called Retro Sunday that'll be out later this week. In the meantime, enjoy. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs and to my people and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Thank you for going on the ride. You're listening to your host, Gregory Neesmith, who's into spreading special stuff, an entrepreneur, and a proud Philadelphian now calling Harlem home. Today's episode, I didn't specifically come up with an exact title for today's episode, but for now, we're just going to call it Retro Sunday because technically, and I mean like technically, like the technical side of things, today is old school. No Facebook Live, no Instagram Live, no live tweeting. It's just me, you, and the radio. But because of 2017, it's probably me, you, and your smartphone or your laptop or your iPad or, you know, something like that. So if you want to interact with each other and me today, you got to do it the old school way. Mr. Telephone Man. Got to call this line. When I call Gregory Neesmith, I get him every time. I'm not the greatest singer, but that is my shout out to one of my favorite groups growing up. New Edition. And if you want to call in, it's area code 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. And for those who might be like, he's showing his age. Well, speaking of age, it's October 22nd. And exactly a month from today on November 22nd is my birthday. Turning 42. Grateful to have almost 42 years on this earth. Grateful to be on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Childhood dream to have a radio show since I was like about 10 years old. Only took me almost 30 years later to make it happen, but I did make it happen. And just want to remind folks, it's never too late to go after whatever you dream of doing, being, creating, have happen. Never too late. And so, as the saying goes, it happened right on time, and I'm right in the place I'm supposed to be. And that's on the radio with you. And on the radio at countdown to 10 seconds, because it's almost the top of the hour. It's almost 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in New York City and Harlem, and you are listening to
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
That was perfect timing. We're now in the second hour of the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. I'm turning 42, birthday coming up next month. You know, I used to be all up in my thoughts and feelings about sharing my age out loud. Or, you know, like on your Facebook status or in your about section. I'm not sure if it's this way on LinkedIn too, but you get to choose whether or not you share the year you're born. And I think right now I currently don't share the year I'm born. And I'm going to change that. There's no reason for me to be embarrassed or ashamed about how old I am. This is how old I am. 42. So if you feel a little emotional about your age and sharing it, it's okay. It's natural. I'm that way, been that way. But I'm going to let go of that and embrace the blessing that it is every year I get to be here and do what I do, which is, you know, try to figure out what to do between now and that day when it all may come to an end. But I'm following my dreams and I'm enjoying this whole ride of fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world so we can go from against all odds to being the favorites. Go from underdogs to contender, contender to champ, and champs to, hey, might as well shoot for going to be legends too. And supporting each other along the way. All right. We were talking earlier about the NFL protest, talking about Jemele Hill, talking about a little perspective that oftentimes in today's culture, folks do things for likes instead of maybe doing things for what is right. I accidentally said that earlier. It rhymed. I like it. I'm going to keep saying it now. And then offered a little historical perspective that there's been countless times in recent history, in the recent 50 years or so, that there have been protesters that have been seen as un-American, unpatriotic, disrespecting the flag and all this and that. And history was on their side. Civil rights protests was an example. Some of the LGBT protests as an example. Folks protesting the Vietnam War. All examples of, at the time, nobody liked them. Those rabble-rousers. Go someplace else. Kind of like today with the, and I'm not going to say anthem protest because anthem protest doesn't exist. I have a new rule. There's no anthem protest. New rule. It doesn't exist. There was never an anthem protest. There's protests kicked off by Colin Kaepernick and now continued by other NFL players protesting racial inequality and policing and overall justice system for minorities and specifically and especially for African Americans. That's what Colin Kaepernick and now other players have been taking a knee for during the start or the pregame leading up to the actual NFL kickoff and games. Next time someone says that there's an anthem protest, you can say to them, no one's protesting the anthem. Next time they say, someone says to you, they hate those players, they wish they would play football, they're not helping their cause, they're spoiled brats, you can say to them, you're not surprised that that person dislikes them or that other Americans dislike them, because history has shown that whenever folks take stance, especially for civil rights, they're inherently unpopular because they're normally by a minority group, and that history and this country eventually awakens and gets to their side. For example, the LGBT protests in the 90s, or you can tell them about the civil rights protests in the 60s. Even blow their mind and tell them that 2/3 of Americans hated Martin Luther King, who now they can't wait for January to come around and they get his day off and then they talk about how free at last and they quote his quotes and you see his memes by whites, blacks, Asians, all types of Americans. But guess what? 50 years ago, people hated him. There's a Gallup poll to prove it. So you can help them to not be prisoners of the moment and let them know that you'll continue to pray for them and that you understand that it's unpopular with them now, but that that will change as time goes on. And then if you are someone who is in the fight or someone who is close to or supportive of folks, and when I say in the fight, obviously Colin Kaepernick, recently these NFL players have been getting a lot of publicity, but as we know, there's people fighting like you every day in our communities, every day in the boardroom, every day in HR, every day in your community, every day in your school system for equality. And so please remember that it's a marathon, and unfortunately there's things that get likes and there's things that we get to do because they're right, and to know that it might be unpopular in the moment, but that history will look upon you well, and there's a sense of being able to sleep at night knowing you're doing what's right. And I actually am saying that so that I can remember that too, because I know there's going to come moments probably sooner than I'm even ready for where I'm going to get to do what's right and not necessarily what's popular. And I get to remember the context of that. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, want to shift gears into another topic that happened this week. For those who might be watching live on www.whcr.org, which is the website of the radio station where you can live stream the audio or even the video of all the shows that are happening here at the station on WHTR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. If you're watching, you might see that I have on a shirt that has a picture of Africa. And it's by no coincidence. Because Africa was also in the American news this week, and specifically the country of Niger. And Niger along with Mali. And I will explain after this break. If you want to join today's show, which is Retro Sunday, because there's no Facebook Live, there's no Instagram Live, there's no live tweeting, it's just me, you, and your radio, you can join the conversation for the Gregory Neesmith Show at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Call me. We're going old school today. But if you do miss any part of the live show today or in the future, you can always listen to the podcast of the show because it's live show Sundays, podcast Mondays. Search the Gregory Neesmith Show. We out here. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs and my people who come along for the journey every Sunday on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Let me do that again. For all those who come along on the journey on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Much better. Today's show, I don't even have an actual title for the episode. But for now, I'm calling it Retro Sundays. Why? Because today, it's just me, you, and your radio. Or your laptop. Or your iPad. Or your computer. You get it. Because there's no social media stuff going on. Which is how it was in the old days. Where, if you want to get involved in the conversation today, you got to pick up the phone. Mr. Telephone Man. There's nothing wrong with your line. If you call Gregory Neesmith, he'll pick up every time. At 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. And shout out to Asha Davis. He's part of the team here. Award-winning advertising executive. She's a comedy writer and a proud Torontonian from Canada. She'll be back in the studio next week. I also bring her up because I think she would be proud of me. Because she got me to do freestyle rapping a few weeks ago, and I think she would be proud of me this week that I'm doing some impromptu singing, channeling my inner Asha Davis. Appreciate her, and she'll be back in the building in the studio next week. We've been talking about a little perspective. One is my perspective on a month from today is my birthday, and that birthdays for me, along with New Year's Eve, are probably the two most reflective, pensive times of year for me where I start to question everything. Like, did I make the right decision in 1992? Should I forgive myself for something I did in 2006? Am I where I should be at the right time at the right place? Why didn't I buy a place in Harlem years ago? All types of things run through my head. But for me, as long as for the most part I feel like I'm being my best self, which is normally for me, if I'm staying in touch with family and friends, if I'm being open and vulnerable about how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, if I'm being unreasonable in terms of really daring to do stuff and take risks, if I'm being those ways, then normally for the most part, I'm in a good mood for my birthday or for New Year's. Because I can't always control the outcome, I do have a say in how I'm acting, what mindset I'm living by as the days go on. So I think I'm somewhat set up for a pretty good birthday. Because I'm living out a childhood dream of having a talk radio show. My consulting and coaching practice under the company called Underdog Stuff, coaching, consulting, and community. I got the official trademark and LLC thing going. About to start my first big corporate coaching project next week. I'm living in one of the greatest cities and greatest neighborhoods in the world, in Harlem, in Manhattan, in New York City. A few years ago, I was blessed to be able to find my biological parents and family. And so as I sit here today on these airwaves, I'm someone who for 2 years was in foster care, then adopted. And I sit here today being able to say that I know all four of the parents in my life and that they're all alive and well. I sit here today on a sunny Sunday that when I get to leave here, I'll walk out and be able to walk home with the sun shining on an unusually and somewhat scary warm October fall Sunday. But roll with me, still a beautiful thing to be able to walk home in the sunshine. Blessed to have my good health. And blessed that there's a possibility of all the things I still dream of are still possible. So I think between now and next month, I'm set up to hopefully have a good birthday. And I hope that you are too. Especially for all the Scorpios out there. Scorpio season! Let me know what you're doing for your birthday. You can reach me on social media. My Instagram is TheGregoryNeesmith. My Twitter is just @GregoryNeesmith. And there's also a Facebook page for the show, which is The Gregory Neesmith Show. So you can reach out to me in any of those places. Or you can reach out on the phone, 212-650-6903. And let me know what you're doing for your birthday. I keep thinking that one of these days, you know how in fashion trends and things come back every 20 years or so, I believe it is. I keep thinking that eventually the phone call is going to make a comeback, where folks are just going to be picking up the phone and talking to people instead of texting and things like that. We'll see. Now, I got a little bit off track because I looked at some of my notes of things I wanted to cover, and I realized I didn't play Malcolm Jenkins, who is an NFL player for my hometown, Philadelphia Eagles, and he had some comments to say after he came out of the NFL players and owners meeting from earlier this week. And I'm thinking I'm going to play that before I move on to our next story, just to round that all out. And also because I pulled the clip and I don't want it to go to waste. And I think this is a question that we'll come back to in future weeks, which is, have we moved from protest to progress related to Colin Kaepernick kicking things off and then other players following suit to raise awareness about racial inequality in policing and our overall justice system? Has progress been made by the owners, by the players, from the fans, by Donald Trump? We won't answer it all today. But I'll leave you with, on this topic, Malcolm Jenkins, who was one of the players who met with Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of NFL, and he met with several owners and several players. And these were his comments coming out of those meetings. And something that we'll talk about in future weeks to come, because it's Sunday. And by coincidence, it's also the day that football happens. And so this topic will continue to come up because we get personal about the news and the culture. And I'm all for fighting for things that have to do, especially with black folks and equality and policing and the justice system. Here's Malcolm Jenkins letting us know his thoughts on NFL players and NFL owners and Roger Goodell meeting earlier this week.
We've been invited up here to be able to speak with owners about some of the issues of injustice that we've seen in our communities and how, as players, we want to use our platforms. And we just talked about how the owners could come alongside us and we could collectively, collaboratively work together to actually create some change and some real change. And so those conversations will continue, the dialogue will continue. You know, as players, we'll continue to do the work in our communities. We feel like that's the most American thing to do is to use your platform and influence. And with the stage that we have as NFL players and as a league in general, we feel a real responsibility to our country, to our communities. So we're working through ways to really have long-lasting real change.
And that was Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles talking about his thoughts on the recent protests, the recent meetings, and whether or not they are moving from protest to progress. More on that in the coming weeks. All right. Another unavoidable news topic of the week was the unfortunate situation in Niger. And I want to read some of a summary of what happened from an article in theweek.com. And then I want to play some clips from some of the folks involved and give you some of my thoughts on what is going on. So for those who may not know all the details, President Trump, and I'm reading from a recent article in theweek.com. President Trump came under intense criticism this week for taking 12 days to pay tribute to four Green Beret soldiers killed in an ambush in Niger in early October. And he provoked a furious backlash when he falsely claimed that Barack Obama and other past presidents never or rarely called the families of soldiers killed in action. Four soldiers were gunned down by Islamic extremists at the border of Niger and Mali on October 4th. In the days after the deadly ambush, Trump made no public statement and did not contact the slain soldiers' families. Instead, during the time between October 4th and leading up to this week, he was tweeting about attacks on fake news media and playing golf. Amid growing questions about his silence, Trump finally made some calls this week to the soldiers' families, but was accused by Florida Rep. Frederica Wilson, a Democrat from Florida, who said she heard the conversation on speakerphone of Donald Trump telling Sergeant LaDavid Johnson's pregnant widow that her late husband, quote, knew what he was signing up for. Trump denied Wilson's account over Twitter, claiming he had proof and that what Rep. Wilson was saying was totally fabricated. But Johnson's mother, who heard the call, said President Trump did disrespect her son and her daughter and her husband. Former aides to both Obama and George W. Bush angrily rejected Trump's suggestion that neither president contacted the relatives of soldiers killed in action during their presidencies, and many other people came to the defense of the past presidents. But the president Trump pressed on, and he also had President Trump evoke the son of his chief of staff, John Kelly, saying that Obama didn't call him after Marine First Lieutenant Robert Kelly was killed in a landmine in Afghanistan in 2010. Kelly, who never discussed his son's death in public, was among the Gold Star families honored in the 2011 White House breakfast. All right, that's some of the background of what's been going on. Let me play first a clip from Representative Wilson of Florida, who is not only the politician who represents the area, of where the David Johnson, who was killed in battle over in Niger, is from, and his family. But she's also a friend of the family, and it's reported that she does a lot of things in the community, which includes a mentoring program, which he was a part of. And so I want to play Rep. Wilson's comments.
I have to ask you, are you sure you heard what he said, that the president said, you know, he knew what he was signing up for? You heard that?
Yeah, he said that. You know, to me, that is something that you can say in a conversation, but you shouldn't say that to a grieving widow. And everyone knows when you go to war, you could possibly not come back alive, but you don't remind a grieving widow of that. It's so insensitive. So insensitive. He should not have said that, and he shouldn't have said it. That is what stood out in my mind. Now, I didn't hear the entire conversation, but when I tried to find out what the entire conversation was, she said, I just can't remember everything that he said. But that stood out in everyone's heart in the car. You don't say that. He is the president of the United States. This is a soldier who gave his life for his country. He is a hero in our minds, in our community's minds. That is an insult to the entire Miami Gardens community, to entire District 24, to Miami-Dade County, and to this nation. And I hope he did not say that to the other three families that he called.
Congresswoman Wilson, this is directly, you heard that from the grieving widow, that he knew what he signed up for.
Yes.
So to our understanding, it was a 5-minute conversation. He expressed his condolences. But by
the way, you know, it's almost like if you are, well, you understand. I don't have to interpret that. That is very.
And that was Rep. Wilson sharing her account of what happened when Donald Trump reached out to the fallen soldier, the David's family, his wife and his family. She happened to be in the car when the call came in, and that was her recount of what happened. Now, for those who may question Donald Trump's sincerity related to military families, especially those who might have been injured in war or those who have lost loved ones in war. And we're going to get to whether or not this is, we're going to delve more in this, but I wanted to, because today's show is Retro Sunday and wanting to put things in context, I thought to myself, you know, oftentimes we are judged in the moment based on our past. Rightfully, wrongfully so, you do, I do. I want to give meaning to things. I don't like surprises. So oftentimes I look for things that have happened in the past to help me put in perspective what might happen in the present or what might happen in the future. So before I started to take a side or determine whether or not I felt like Trump was right, Wilson was wrong, Trump was right, he had the intentions, he didn't have the intentions, what did John Kelly say? I said, you know what? Let me see how Donald Trump has conducted himself before with families or individuals that we would all regard in high respect for specifically their service to this country. So first I went back to summer of 2015 when Donald Trump was just kicking off his run for president. And then obviously, shockingly so, he would become president, but this is summer of 2015, talking about John McCain, currently a senator from Arizona, the Republican nominee who ran against Barack Obama in 2008. Some refer to him as the Maverick in the Republican Party. He's also recently been one of the deciding votes in the repeal of the Affordable Care Act not happening, even though the Republicans have the majority of senators in the Senate. And as many people know, he is someone who fought on behalf of this country in the past and was a prisoner of war. And this is Donald Trump. I'll let you judge whether or not he has a level of empathy and sensitivity and statesman-like attitude towards not John McCain as the politician, but towards John McCain as a soldier. Here's Donald Trump, summer of 2015.
Somebody should run against John McCain, who has been, you know, in my opinion, not so hot. And I supported him. I supported him for president. I raised $1 million for him. It's a lot of money. I supported him. He lost. He let us down. But, you know, he lost. So I never liked him as much after that, because I don't like losers. But Frank, let me get to it. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Do you agree with that?
He's a war hero because he was captured. Okay? You can have, and I believe perhaps he's a war hero, but right now he said some very bad things about a lot of people.
Well, now, that's Donald Trump 2 years ago showing, in my opinion, no level of compassion, sensitivity, tact, not very statesmanlike. See, I'm a fan of, you can go after people's points of view. You can go after John McCain, the politician. But it seems odd at best and mean at worst to go after him for his service. But one time doing something doesn't make something a fact or a trend or an expectation. So maybe Donald Trump is Mr. Sensitivity when it comes to military families. Maybe he's above being divisive when it comes to politics and rhetoric and things like that. Maybe it was just personal against John McCain. So then fast forward to 2016. Around the time when Donald Trump was going to get the nomination to become the POTUS nominee for the Republican Party, around the time that Hillary Clinton was officially about to become the nominee for the Democratic Party, and she was at the convention, and you know, at these conventions, they have a bunch of people to get up and speak and talk. And at the 2016 DNC convention, where Hillary Clinton was about to become the official nominee, the Khan family, the mother and father of a Muslim U.S. soldier who was killed in combat, they went to the stage and they spoke. During their speech, which was about 6 minutes or so, they criticized Donald Trump's stance against immigrants and Muslims during their speech at the Democrat National Convention. They are immigrants. They're of Muslim faith. And rest in peace, their son who lost his life in, I believe, Afghanistan, fighting on behalf of this country. And they said a few words about Donald Trump. And then here is Donald Trump talking about that family, which is referred to as a Gold Star family because they are a family that has lost a loved one who was serving this country.
you have sacrificed nothing, and no one.
He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that. And personally, I watched him. I wish him the best of luck, George.
What would you say to that father?
Well, I'd say we've had a lot of problems.
And that's Donald Trump, which I'm starting to notice a pattern. Does something that could easily be seen as disrespectful, or at least something not becoming of one of the most powerful men in the world, which is that of someone who is about to, at that moment, on his way or path to potentially becoming president, but definitely still in a position of power, being the Republican nominee back in 2016 in the summertime. And so then you would think Trump might, upon further review, have some regret. Maybe realize that he shouldn't be going after a family that's still grieving a loved one's loss, and someone who lost a hero, a soldier, someone who was fighting on behalf of this country. Here's Donald Trump talking about whether he had any regrets and whether or not he's done any sacrifices for this country.
Do you regret at all engaging in this back and forth with the cons?
I don't regret anything. I said nice things about the son, and I feel that very strongly. But, of course, I was hit very hard from the stage, and, it's just one of those things. But, I don't regret anything with ISIS.
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I've made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, built great structures. I've had tremendous success. I think
those are sacrifices.
Oh, sure. I think they're sacrifices. I think when I can employ thousands and thousands of people, take care of their education.
And that's Donald Trump attempting to explain away why he attacked verbally a family that, and parents of a former U.S. soldier who lost his life fighting for this country. Name and where you're calling from. Hello, do we have a caller on the line? Name and where you're calling from. Going once. Going twice. Please attempt to call back in. I cannot hear you. That is part of live radio. Folks call in. Maybe they had their volume up too high, but please call back in. And if they call back in, or if you want to call in, please do, because it's Retro Sunday, where it's just me, you, and your radio, or your smartphone, or your laptop, or your computer, or your iPad. Because it's 2017, so folks, don't just listen to the radio on the radio. There's a bunch of other ways to do it. And it's Retro Old School Sunday because I'm not doing any Facebook Live today, any Instagram Live, no live tweeting. It's old school. So if you want to hang out today, you got to do it the old school way. I keep thinking the phone call is going to make a comeback eventually, because certain things have universal truths, which is we as people love to connect with each other. And whether that's in person or whether that's over the phone, there's nothing quite like being able to hear the sound of someone's voice. There's nothing quite like being able to be in front of somebody and see their body language, their gestures, see how quickly or slowly they're breathing, whether they're smiling or frowning, whether they're slumped forward, standing at attention. There's just something about some of the things from the past that I do hope they make a comeback in the present and the future. And so, Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with your line. You call the Gregory Neesmith Show, I'm going to pick up every time. Shout out to one of my favorite bands, New Edition. Old school. And also, speaking of old school, I've been showing my age. My birthday's been on my mind because a month from today, November 22nd, it's my birthday. And shout out to all the Scorpios out there. And so today we've been talking about the news and the culture, but also putting it in perspective by looking at things in the past that relate to things in the future. Like, and no pun intended, doing things for likes instead of doing what's right. Yes, it rhymes. I didn't mean to, but I'm rolling with it. Which means sometimes you can lose your job or at least get suspended like Jemele Hill did for doing what I believe was right, or vocal saying something that she believed that was right but may not be liked at the time. It's NFL Sunday, and those of you who follow the show know that I don't watch football anymore until I see the protests turn to progress related to racial inequality and policing and the overall justice system. There were some meetings this week with NFL players and NFL owners. I'm still waiting to see what happens next. So we'll continue to talk about that in the weeks and months to come. But remember, underdogs, do what you feel is right. Do it because it's your calling. Do it because it's your cause. Do it even if it feels like it might be something controversial, because you'll be able to sleep at night and history will almost more than likely certainly be on your side. Because just like the NFL players are being called disrespectful, they should go someplace else, un-American, disrespecting the flag and all that. Well, guess what? The same thing was said about the 1993 protesters who were the 800,000 of them in Washington, D.C., who were marching for LGBT rights. The same thing was said about Vietnam protesters. The same things were said about civil rights protesters. And specifically, can you believe Martin Luther King, Gallup poll back in the 60s, almost 2/3 of Americans negative rating of him, and now less than 5% feel negative about Martin Luther King. Just trying to put it in perspective. Colin Kaepernick last year was the most hated player in the NFL. It actually was a sign that he was doing something right instead of doing something to be liked. It's a reminder to each of us, and I'm including me too in this, because you are, I am, each of us is going to have moments that come up in our life where there's an unpopular choice to be made, an unpopular thing to be said, an unpopular cause to support. And we're going to get to choose between doing what we think will be liked or doing what we think is right. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and actually even the occasional Trump supporter, because you're going to get a chance to do what is right too when these elections come back around. I hope you change your mind. And we've been talking about what's going on in Niger. And some back and forth about whether Donald Trump was being sensitive, empathetic. Was he being a consoler in chief when he reached out to the family of the fallen soldier, LaDavid Johnson from Florida? And before we got into today's news, it's Retro Sunday. So I wanted to give some context about whether or not Trump has been sensitive or not, at least in public, to families and individuals who served this country and either lost loved ones or been prisoners of war like John McCain or lost loved ones like the Kahn family. And so far, I haven't found too many instances of him being the consoler-in-chief. So I wouldn't be surprised if the call that he had with the Johnson family didn't go as planned. It's possible. Now back to Donald Trump responding to comments that Rep. Wilson made about Trump's phone call to that family.
Didn't say what that congresswoman said. Didn't say it at all. She knows it. And she now is not saying it. I did not say what she said. And I'd like her to make the statement again, because I did not say what she said. I had a very nice conversation with the woman, with the wife, who is sounded like a lovely woman. Did not say what the congresswoman said. And most people aren't too surprised to hear that.
What's the truth, Mr. President?
Let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out. Okay, let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out.
And that was Donald Trump. I'm sure a lot of you aren't surprised. Denying, deflecting, saying there's proof. You know, we get personal here about the news and the culture. And what this reminds me of is sometimes what's actually needed is an apology. And not because I intended to do something wrong, but sometimes an apology is warranted because my intentions and then actions and then the outcome weren't aligned. And this could have all been stopped with a simple statement from Trump going, my intentions were to console the Johnson family. However, it wasn't received that way. My deepest apologies and my condolences and prayers go out to them for the service of LaDavid Johnson, and I continue to have them in my thoughts and prayers, something like that. And this could have all been over. Now, one thing that has disturbed me about all this is Rep Wilson's been in the news, Trump's been in the news, John Kelly went out on Trump's behalf and said some things. And it's actually, to me, overshadowed the real story. And there's two real stories. One of which is four Americans died in Niger. And I bet you, you don't even know their names. Why? Because we keep talking about Rep Wilson and Donald Trump. And he said, she said, and John Kelly and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Well, I want to take a moment to make sure that we pause for the four men that were part of a 12-member team in Niger that were ambushed on October 4th by reportedly 50 ISIS fighters. After those Green Berets had just left helping some local forces in Nigeria that combat terrorists there. And a salute and appreciation and prayers and condolences to Staff Sergeant Brian Black, who was 35, who was reported he learned a local dialect because he wanted to communicate directly with those in Niger. Our salute to Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, 39 years old, of Springboro, Ohio, who earned dozens of military commendations and leaves behind a wife and two daughters. Salute and prayers to Dustin Wright, age 29, from Georgia, who came from a family deeply rooted in military service, going back to 1812. And a salute and our thoughts and prayers to Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, 25 years old, of Miami Gardens, Florida, who married his childhood sweetheart, Maisha, and they were expecting, and they are expecting, or she's pregnant, and they have both the expecting child and two other children. Let's make sure we remember all four of those soldiers who gave their life. And the other story that we're missing is why it took over 10 days for the White House to even inform us about what happened, to make an official statement. It's been reported that for several years, American and French troops have provided training and support to the militaries in Niger and other vulnerable African countries where Islamic extremists have grown. But I'd like to get an official statement as to why we're still there. Would like to understand how LaDavid Johnson got separated and or left behind by the team there and was found 48 hours later after the ambush had happened. With all due respect to Rep Wilson and Donald Trump and John Kelly and Sarah Huckabee Sanders and their back and forth about he said, she said. First of all, Donald Trump should just apologize. And second of all, we should get to the real news here, which is honoring the four men that died and also finding out what happened so that something like this, if it can be avoided, doesn't happen again. With that, 2 hours has flown by. And as always, I am grateful that you, underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter come along for the journey. Hard to believe that in a couple weeks, we will have been doing this for a year. The 1 year anniversary of the Gregory Neesmith Show happens in November next month. Thank you to Deborah for calling in and letting us know her thoughts. Deborah from Manhattan. Shout out to everyone who was listening, driving around in their cars on this sunny Sunday in New York City and in Harlem. Or for the folks who watch on www.whcr.org. Appreciate you. This was Retro Sunday, where we went no Facebook Live, no Twitter, no Instagram Live, just me, you, and the radio. And by the way, a couple new rules from today's show. Don't use the phrase anthem protest anymore. The NFL players, which led off with Colin Kaepernick, are protesting to bring awareness to racial inequality in policing and the overall justice system. Nobody's protesting an anthem. Another new rule from today's show. It's challenging, but it's worth it. Don't do it for the likes. Do it because it's right. Because, new rule, history will be on your side. Keep fighting. And I'm going to keep fighting too. Keep fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world so we can go from being against the odds to being the favorites. If you miss any of today's live show every Sunday, podcast is on Monday, and you can download it by searching The Gregory Neesmith Show on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or Stitcher. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. Underdogs, I hope you enjoyed this mini episode, Niger, Trump, and Perspective. The entire full episode that it was a part of, called Retro Sunday, will be out later this week.